soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here. We got a quick 6 minutes here to finish up with Alex Pera, leads the broadcast at Telexitos, and Eddie Robinson, two great friends of mine, Eddie Robinson and I, 10 years, and we are going to have the opening game of MLS 2021. Okay, so just going back to the midfield here, I'll just give you my little quick 45-second synopsis. I do not think you can play with both Memo Rodriguez and Darwin Quintero in the same three-set in midfield. I do think it's going to have to look and lean a little bit more defensive. Todd Ramos has alluded to the fact that he could use two more defensive-minded midfielders. I think this is the most intriguing part of the team because, as you said, Eddie, Jose Corona's been brought in. Derek Jones, the other day in the scrimmage I watched, and he played with Tab at the under-20 level as a holding midfielder. He is a guy that can bring the steal. I think he's a very, very big X factor. There's still a ton of unknown, but I do not think you can go with a midfield of Memo, Corona, and Vera, especially against specific opponents, because there has to be some fight and some help alongside of Vera. So we'll see how it pans out, but it's very, very interesting. The other thing I wanted to make very clear, and I didn't mean to jump in on you guys, but Tab has alluded to, and I've had a lot of interviews with him on the show. He's been absolutely outstanding, as you guys both know, when it comes to talking about the team. It's something we haven't had in many, many years. He has made it very, very clear and has alluded strongly, and this doesn't mean it can't change because we don't have to hold anybody to what's going on in preseason, but he's alluded very strongly to the fact that Darwin Quintero would be playing as a number 10 behind a forward and not out on the left. And your point is absolutely correct, Eddie. He played his best soccer as a left-sided guy in a three-set up front. So that's something that's changing. Now, that said, before, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, that said, this to me is the most intriguing part of the team. And now, with all the talk about a much deeper roster and more competition, do we see, and this is to you two guys, do we see Tab Ramos moving a little bit more to a rotation policy? Quintero maybe starts one day. Maybe it's Memo the next. Do we see more rotation?
I'll jump in, Glenn, if you don't mind. And may I, gentlemen, if that's okay?
Yeah, fire away. We only got 4 minutes.
Got it. Look, I like what you said about Tab. The transparency is something we've never seen before from a media coverage side. He's clear. He's concise. He gets to the point. He sees what we see or many see, and he's not playing games, which is great. But to address your point, knowing that, I still feel he's old school, Glenn, in the sense that you've got to earn it. And once you've got it, once you earn that position, it's yours. So I don't know if he's going to start getting it to a point that he will start rotating and doing that kind of a line change is the terminology I use.
Well, I don't think in a big way, but maybe subtle. He's going to have to do that with Minor Figueroa. He's going to have to do that with Darwin Quintero. I don't think there's any question, Eddie.
Well, I've never been a fan of rotation. I grew up and I came up in a team with San Jose Earthquakes and then the Houston Dynamo, where the best players played every game. As long as they were healthy, you wanted to make sure that you had continuity. You wanted to win games. You wanted to make the playoffs. That's how coaches and organizations are judged. There's no room for me for rotation. I don't think it's necessary, especially because the team's not going to be playing in CONCACAF Champions League. U.S. Open Cup, they'll have. I mean, if you go back and you look, at our early Houston Dynamo days. We had CONCACAF Champions League, then we had all these other competitions. We played 50-something games, I think, in 2006, 48, 52 games. So there's the difference. You're looking at a league season. You need to make the playoffs. The best players should play every game. There should be no rotation. This is me, and I'm old school. It is what it is. I'm old school.
Yeah,
I think the best players should play
every
game.
I think you guys might have misunderstood me. I don't mean a full-scale blown rotation. I mean certain guys are going to have a blow. If you're playing three games in 10 days, Darwin Quintero's not going to play every game, I don't think. I don't think Minor Figueroa is, if you're going to have him last the season. I just think you may have more options now to spell people a little bit better than you did last year.
More options good, Glenn, without a doubt. And you've got to think about injuries that are going to come. You're going to have people that are out for those reasons, not because of CONCACAF and other competitions. So, it's a tricky one, but I'm with Eddie here. Old school is you earn it until you lose it. And that's the way I believe Tab will guide.
Well, he's been very, very clear about that. You're going to earn it through playing time, but you've already got guys away with Minor Figueroa's already off away with national team duty. So it's going to happen organically anyway. But I understand 100% where you're coming from, Eddie, and I think we saw that with Todd Ramos last year. But I'm just saying in the case of how to get Memo and Darwin Quintero on the field, I don't know if you can have them both on the same field in a lot of these games based on a pressing system. I just don't see it.
I'm more than happy to sit down with anybody who disagrees with me when I say Darwin Quintero should not be the 10th. Because if we go back and we look at the games where he was put into that position after a substitution, he was ineffective because it was 3v3 in the midfield. When he played out on the wing and he came into the middle, he created an overload. So he made it difficult, whether it was him being open and finding spaces or one of the other midfielders finding spaces. That worked. When he was the number 10 and the Dynamo had two other wingers and a center forward, he was not effective for me, and I am happy to sit down and look at video and point out and show anyone that wants to talk about it that
I think we saw that last year. I mean, we saw that last year, and we made that comment. We made that comment on the air a number of times, but this is why it's intriguing. This is why it's great. You guys have both brought a lot of great opinions tonight. I appreciate it very much. And this is what you call real soccer talk. We don't get enough of this in Houston, and we're going to do this again because I think
we don't get enough. You're right, Glenn, and we appreciate it.
Well, nobody's going deep on this stuff in town. Let's start talking deep. Let's go down deeper. This is how you grow the game. And guys, we are now going to be called the Holy Trinity. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Well, we're grateful for you, Glenn, that you bring this up.
Eddie,
we are
great
Glenn.
Stuff.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, gentlemen, caballeros. Buenas noches. Gracias.
Alex Parra, Telexitos, and the one and only Eddie Robinson. It's great stuff. And these kind of debates are so healthy. And this is missing in this town. We don't have it in mainstream media. And you got to ask yourself why. And I would hope that a lot of Dynamo fans will have liked these two segments tonight with Alex and Eddie. And hopefully you'll comment on it. And you want more of these. Because we just can't talk about the color of jerseys and the new rebrand, that stuff's all important. That's fun. It's all a part of it. It is a part of it. But we also want to talk some nuts and bolts once in a while, too. It's good stuff. All right. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John, presenting sponsor of this show. Him and the Daspit Law Firm are going to bring you 24/7 nights and weekends work. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, there is no doubt you need the Daspit Law Firm. It's Daspit Law. com. They are bilingual, and all you got to do is call 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Coming up, Romeo Josak, the former Croatia head man as a technical director, will join me on the show. He's also going to talk about Dinamo Zagreb's remarkable 3-2 comeback victory against Spurs to knock them out of the Europa League. That is coming up next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
I'm Jordi Sunyer in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Now, John and his firm are presenting sponsors of this show. They're personal injury attorneys. If you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might even drive an 18-wheeler or work in a refinery. You might do construction. Get in an accident, you call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. The Daspit Law Firm will bring you a personalized approach. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And we thank John for getting us on the air. Also in Austin with DaspitLawAustin.com. Also, quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. You know, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've bought from Advantage numerous times. Love the drive of a BMW. I've got an X5. Absolutely love it. I've had a 5 Series in the past. It is the ultimate driving machine. And the one thing you can be sure about is if you go to Advantage BMW Midtown, well, they're going to take you through sales, service, finance, and they're going to make it really easy. So get yourself in a 3, 5, or 7 Series or an X5. Get down to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Tell them Glenn Davis sent you in Soccer Matters. Talk to Justin. Talk to Steven. And get that Houston hometown advantage. It's why I shop Advantage. Advantage BMW Midtown. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Now, our next guest has incredible ties to Dinamo Zagreb. He's been an assistant coach there. As we know, Dinamo Zagreb just had a huge win over Tottenham Hotspur, 3-2. He has been the technical director and director of all national teams for the Croatian Football Federation. He is Romeo Josak, and he joins us now. Well, Romeo, first of all, thank you for coming on the show from in Croatia. I know it's late afternoon there, but we appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me.
All right. So the obvious thing I'm going to start with here really quickly is just how wonderful Dinamo Zagreb was in the UEFA Europa League. 3-2 result over Tottenham Hotspur. You know, what kind of reverberations occurred back in the country? This is a big, big result against a big team. But I think people over here kind of forget that Dinamo Zagreb's a pretty big team, too.
I mean, you know, when you, as I said, first, like, thank you for having me in a big show as yours. You know, when you end up second in the World Cup, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago in Russia, then people, you know, start to ring their bells around and say, listen, okay, there's something happening in this country, right? Now, also, people that do follow the soccer motion all around the world, they have been really approaching us lately. I was as a technical director here in Croatia and as an academy director of the biggest club here for a long time. And then when you achieve such a result as beating Tottenham 3-0, then they really even, you know, more open their eyes and say, listen, okay, there is definitely something going on. But to be honest with you, a lot of people don't know, for example, the facts that I'm just going to quickly try to share with you. As I said, you know, being a runner-up in the World Cup, you know, everybody is all of a sudden, you know, asking, like, what's going on there? But, for example, 2011, we have been, Dinamo Zagreb Academy has been selected in one of the best 6 academies in Europe among Barcelona, Porto, Arsenal, Ajax, and Sporting, right? So that was a huge achievement. At that time, nobody knew that was like 10 years ago, right? So that was like something for me as an academy director, an eye-opener. We were on the good way. And then in a World Cup cycle, 2013, 2014, we have been the only nation, the only country on the planet, literally, that have been participating in all 3 World Cups, U17, U20, and the Senior World Cup. Not Spain, not Germany, not England, not France, only Croatia, right? So for a technical director of the Croatian national team, it's something what's going to give you a future guarantees that something is going to happen down the road, right? Well, the same year, we have been winning the Dinamo Zagreb U15 team. They won the world championship on the club level in Old Trafford, beating Boca Juniors, Arsenal, Milan in the final. You know, being the best team of the U15 in the world, literally, on the unofficial club championship. A lot of people don't know that, right? Together with the fact that relatively observed, based on the population of the country, Croatia has been the second nation in the world exporting the players for the big 5 leagues in Europe after Uruguay. You know, so these figures, people don't know, And also in Russia, Dinamo Zagreb Academy has given the biggest number of the homegrown players. 14 players came from the academy itself only in Russia on the national team. So, you know, people, when you beat Tottenham, all of a sudden people ask, you know, yeah, there's something happening over there. But going to 10 years in history with all these little things, you know, it gives you the right that you know you're on the right path. You actually have those expectations. So, yeah, if you just to answer your question shortly, big thing for the country, big thing for the club. But for us, you know, being in here last 10, 15 years, it's something what we kind of, in a way, haven't expected.
Romeo Josak joining us here, former technical director of Croatian Football Federation, also was an assistant coach at Dinamo Zagreb. We're talking about this wonderful result. All right, so, you know, with this history that really was established, these moments are great, though, because it brings it to the attention of the world a little bit more. For those that aren't taking the deep dive on player development, what is it about players in Croatia that you know, and the methodology that you're using over there in a short term and in a short answer that kind of is the fire starter for producing all this talent?
You know, being a member of the many conferences all around, you know, every time, even without me saying anything myself, you know, they call us Brazilians of Europe, right? which in a way, It was flattering, but on the other side, you know, there's something else to it. There's something, you know, as an addition to it, because if you look and my first selection criteria for the talented education for the Croatian national team players was too bad. I don't have the photo right now. And people ask me, you know, the photo of Luka Modric having the bandage all over his forehead, of Čorluka having the bandage over his forehead, Mandžukić having his bandage, and Vrsaljko with the bloody head. A literally bloody head, you know, going and fighting for every single tackle they have on the field. So when they think about the Croatian players, you know, smoothly playing, yes, we try to smoothly play about a technique, but it's so much more than the actual skill. It's so much more than being skillful. And I call, because I've seen millions of talented players here in Croatia, calling them butterflies, you know, having everything with the ball, but then efficiently, functionally on the field, not having it. So if there's, we changed literally 12 years ago. We changed the selection process with the talent identification, looking for the talented player overall, having the primarily this personality traits, the domicile. And that's what I started off with the extreme passion and will to fight and go.
Romeo Josak joining us here helped develop a lot of the players on the 2018 World Cup finalist, Luka Modric, as he mentioned. You know, on and on we go. I want to take you back to the Dinamo Zagreb result, because in that game, a lot of people also talking about Milan Orsic, you know, with the second half hat trick for the 3-2 win. And this is a moment where this player's value must have just jumped up in the eyes of a lot of people off a singular game. Is that fair to say?
I mean, it's soccer is an extreme business in Europe. As you know, it's all over the place, obviously, from the you know, literally the club lives off the transfers that we do, that they do at the moment. So obviously playing at the stage where you're at right now and being exposed, and even feeling, you know, when we had this first game against Tottenham in London 7 days before that, you know, in the press conference before the match, you know, all the questions or most of the questions towards Mourinho, they were asking him about the game against Arsenal the following weekend. You know, nobody even you know, I'm trying to say nobody even cared about the game. You know, that's going to be just one step we're going to, you know, get across and get over. And there's like 11 players on each side. You know what I mean? And our players are not, you know, we have been, you know, and then there's this deep down, I'm not going to say ego, but, you know, this passion, energy from inside, you know, coming out. And then you know, want to step inside and say, listen, we want to make it. Right? We want to show you where, like we showed England in the World Cup, right? For that matter speaking. But regarding Orsic, you know, one among others, you know, he's on the national team roster for the Euro, upcoming Euro in summer. Obviously, his price, we don't have to go directly with the figures, but that's going to be, I don't think he'll be before the Euro, but after the Euro, I would say 99% he's going to leave the club.
Romeo, how about getting the draw with Villarreal in the quarterfinals? How do you see that matchup?
I mean, we did play against them, even though those games in the past, they just give you some kind of estimate or the accurate prediction. But nevertheless, the Villarreal, me personally, I know how we think here mentality-wise. You know, I would rather want us be, you know, playing against Arsenal and Man U. because I know how they, you know, how they get sharpened up against them, and like they did against Tottenham. Villarreal is a huge club, but you know they're big, huge club, but not as big name wise as those big guys over there around. But also just as equally good and hungry. They can't, or they're going to have a hard time chasing the Europa League and the Champions League on their table right now in Spanish First Division. So one of the ways, one of the pretty much the only pathway to get down there is going to be winning the Europa League. So they're going to be a tough opponent to beat. So we have the exceptional momentum right now, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough.
Dinamo Zagreb, 109 years old. Romeo Josak, who's been an assistant coach there, joining us right now. Fascinating interview here from Croatia. All right, I want to take you into a purchase that you recently made, because you are tied to the U.S. in a big way. Blast FC was started and has been run for many, many years with a former teammate of mine who played here in the Houston with the Houston Dynamos in 1984, Les Shkreli. You've partnered with him now. Les is going to remain as the director of coaching. You're going to be the CEO and club director. How did that come together with Les, and how did you guys cross paths and figure out that this is a great thing to do with the two of you involved?
I mean, I was, first of all, I didn't know. I'm really flattered to know that you've been, you guys have been teammates, so I congratulate you for that. Les is, as you know, maybe even more than I do, exceptional personality, exceptional guy, exceptional passion for the coaches. I really praise that, his involvement. You know, I've been going to the States back and forth really often, like last 15, 20 years. I have a lot of people I know. Been working for the United States Soccer Federation as an instructor part-time back a couple of years ago on many conferences as a lecturer. And I really was, in a way, surprised. You know, it was intriguing for me, you know, to see the huge potential of the youth players that there is in the States. And I just wanted to be a part of it. And in the idea, one day, mutual friend of ours from Chicago called me, listen, there's an opportunity. Would you want to partner up? And obviously they had an interest because of my influence here in Europe and everything I can offer to the players as well. And I directly got myself involved physically. We'll see. I'm still having my career right now, but I'm going to be sending, I have sent already a few coaches from Europe, and then we're going to be bridging the Blast FC directly with Europe as much as we can, trying to make something really significant over there. And it was some opportunity that I found out that I realized to be very very productive for the U.S. Young talented players, and this came along. And so far I'm enjoying it.
Romeo Josak joining us here, former technical director of the Croatian Football Federation. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Les has had the long successful career, because he was a passionate professional. I can tell you that. I mean, his passion for the game, off the charts. Okay, off the charts. So there's never any question about that with Les Shkreli, for sure. And he had come to Houston after playing in Greece. So I'm excited to see he's doing so well. All right. So, you know, taking this, I look at you and I go, there's not many people who have the resume that you have in Europe, combined with the resume and the understanding of the U.S. game. I mean, you and I have seen many people come to the United States, try their hand at player development here and fail, not because they're not knowledgeable about the sport, but because they couldn't adapt to the United States and the large differences that we have in youth player development here. Tons of money changing hands, over the chart, over the top marketing of programs. Is the sport a little bit too much about the marketing over here? And I say this respectfully, the smoke and mirrors.
I mean, let's be honest, could be, right? Could be. Maybe not always necessarily, you know, the biggest talents have chance to be seen and approached by the, you know, as I like to say, you know, there's a big fish always eats the small fish, and you want to draft, you want to get the player. However, you know, there's some windows in the development phases that if you know spot this player too late, you're going to be you know, sorry, because you haven't, you know, spotted the guy earlier when you could have done even, you know, bigger impact and changes in his development. And those are the things that I'm primarily, as I said, since I'm really flying, I just 2 years ago I got the green card by the government of the U.S. For the exceptional talent ability, which was soccer in my expertise case. And as I said, since I really go there quite often, I think a lot of people do, but I'm really realizing the potential in the youth talent. I'm just going to tell you one example. I was running all Croatian national teams from the U14 up until the senior, and our first international friendly at the age of U14, that's where we started off, was together. The U.S. national team started off at the same time they started. And Jim Morehouse at that time, he was a good friend of mine. He was rep for the U.S. You probably heard of him, right? We used to get along very well, and we said, "Listen, let's make it against each other." So the first ever friendly for the U.S. when I was the technical director and he was there was against each other, and the U.S. flew here to Croatia. And I'm telling you, up on the level U14, we never got below 5-0 against the States. It was always 5-0, 5-1 for them. 6-2, so dominant at the age of U14, U15, so similar. For the same age group at the U17 level, it was pretty much a 2-1 for them. I'm speaking average, right? Then we U19, we kind of slowly took it over, and U21, we completely took it over, right? So I'm trying to say there's a huge, unbelievable potential by the age of U14, U15 in the States, and I just want to be one of the guys in Europe that's going to be, let's say, first one to discover and make a big thing of it, because I've seen a lot of wasted talents, here in Croatia as well, all over the place, but also in the States, we got to agree, right? So being money-wise influenced or not as much, obviously we can go into details, but there's enormous potential up there, and even now in this last 2, 3, 4 years, months that I'm deeper involved in the academy process right there, I've seen a couple of talents at the age of 15, 16 that probably because of the lack of competitive environment that they're exposed to, let's say from the age of U15 and above to the U19, U20, when there's lack of, I'm talking compared to Europe, right? Competitive environment, and they have to be in this competitive environment in order for them to succeed and come to the serious level. I just wanna make that impact. I wanna cross that bridge and try to make something influential, right? So that's pretty much the idea.
So that's part one of Romeo Josak, and we'll come back with part two after this break. Again, quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to them for being the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Also on the sister show up in Austin, Soccer Matters on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Now, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. If you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, you need the best. You need John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, again, they'll represent you. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. You can call them, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. And don't forget, they are bilingual. You'll get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. And John Daspit, John, big fan of Chelsea and the Houston Dynamo. And again, the number 713-322-HURT. All right, stay with us when we come back. Part two, Romeo Josak, the former director of all national teams and technical director of the Croatian Football Federation.
ESPN 97.5.
Hola, soy Mateo Bajamich. Les quería mandar un saludo muy grande a Soccer Matters y les mando un abrazo muy grande.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented as always by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Quick word here for Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. They've got 18 TVs, big screens, tremendous food out there as well. It is the home of the Houston Liverpool Supporters Club. It is Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway. They got a nice outdoor patio as well. They do the steak night. You know it. They do it. Go over there and say hello to Peter and Dave. It's Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway. Absolutely gorgeous pub. All right. Part two now with Romeo Josak.
All right, so that gap, though, I'm assuming that Croatians, your top players at 16, 17, they begin to mix with men, right?
Yeah, well, obviously, biologically, you've got to be able to keep up, right? You can't push them too early. But what I'm trying to say is, in a team, there's a couple of criteria for any soccer environment to develop a player. There's always a talented player, talented coach, a good program that you got to have in order to actually make that happen. But there's a competitive environment that has to be within the team. So if there's one player standing out in one given team, that's not going to be good. Subconsciously, he gets soaked in. He doesn't get the pressure subconsciously that he should be getting. And even though he gets drafted by the Houston Dynamo or LA Galaxy, they have the league that's going to be having the competitive pressure against them. And on the average level, all around the States, it's very hard to have, on the average, you know, such a competitive environment in all the teams or in all the leagues where these players are playing. And that's why more and more, you know, a lot of these players are flying. Just recently, one player from U15s from Red Bull in New York just came to Dinamo Zagreb Academy, and he's playing starting 11 in the U15 here, and he's an American citizen. And listen, I can't quite be sure if he's going to be making a pro career here in Europe, but 100%, if the injury is going to be avoiding him, you know, he'll be coming back to the MLS and easily play there, because he's going to be in this, what I'm saying, competitive environment the next 3-4 years, as he didn't have that right there. So I'm going to try to, by me getting there, not bringing the kids here, I want to offer my, let's say, experience and expertise and knowledge to actually create those competitive environments for the kids over there. So try to develop in the States and keep them in the States as much as we can.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Romeo, what's going to be the end game? And by the way, Blast FC is out of Ohio, and that's where Les Shkreli has been, and that's where Romeo Josak will be joining Les Shkreli, Blast FC Soccer Academy. He'll be the CEO and club director. Les, he'll continue on as the director of coaching. You know, what is the end game for your players? Is it MLS out of the Blast Club, or is it potentially taking a few to Europe? Is it potentially selling some? You know, how do you set the bar there with people? Because maybe the end game for some is college. Maybe the end game for some, you know, is not going to be college or the professional game.
You'll come up with the answer yourself. You know, it depends. I mean, I've been the sporting director of the club and academy director. I've been through all these levels, and primarily, obviously, me going to the States. I just, you know, seeing what I've seen in the last 25 years and working professionally with the youth players. In Croatia, we couldn't afford losing a single talent, because we have 100,000 players and overall in the country, right? So there's been, you know, you got to flip every rock to find a talent, and when you get it, you got to really, you know, worship it. You got to really praise it and develop it in the best possible way. So the same thing in the States. I've seen a lot of raw talent, and I'm kind of feeling sorry when I see the kids with the unbelievable agility, skills, sense for the play, aggressiveness, all these skills that are important, what I said with the bandage right over the heads, trying to fight. You know, they're going to be, and you were right yourself when you said it, is it going to be a scholarship? Is it going to be MLS? Primarily, obvious, you want to keep them there in the States. If something exceptionally happens, obvious, we're going to move them around. But as I said, I'm partnering with the Blast right now. I will physically not be there myself. I'm going to be sending my coaches, my people. I'm still pursuing my professional career as a coach or a sporting director. But yeah, with my influence, I'm going to be trying to make sure that those players get a proper chance.
Okay, before we move on to your personal situation when it comes to potentially coaching and being a sporting director in the United States, Romeo, just take me a little bit into your opinion, your thoughts, your judgment on the Major League Soccer Academy so far. And I know they vary from market to market, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, three years ago, I've been approached by the LA Galaxy to be, there was a talk, potential talk for me getting, being a head coach of a second team and academy director of the Galaxy. And then right in the middle of these talks, the opportunity for me to be the head coach of Legia Warsaw in Poland came along, and I took it. So that never happened. But I'm quite familiar. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of academy directors in the States, and I'm thinking it's picking up. It's getting more and more. Now, for me to answer this question really in detail, I would have to really know. I know quite a few academies. I know Paul, the academy director from Houston Dynamo. He's a good friend of mine. I know they're doing an exceptional job with Tom Beyer from Japan, together pushing the soccer starts at home philosophy, having the good coaches. A couple other academies around. I'm getting really with the Toronto FC. Those guys are really passionately going deep inside. I can't quite know like what's happening in every single academy in the States, but overall, I'm thinking the potentially the problems. Just quickly again, you know, it's not going to be about the player itself. You know, the talented player. First of all, we have to analyze and go and specifically go in detail what are the criteria for somebody being a talented player, right? And we said it's not only about the skills; it's about everything, and it's about this passion from the inside, about the personality. But let's say we have a talented player, as I've seen many in the States, right? You have to have a good program. And it's not wisdom nowadays to have a good program. A lot of people bring in programs, good schools, good academies. But there's, you know, good coaches. Now, what is a good coach? You know, what are the criteria for the good coach? Is it a license only? You know, is it only the A pro license you got to have in order to be a coach? I've seen many doctors with the same diploma from the same medical universities, and there's always one doctor, two doctors you go to when you have a problem with a knee. Everybody's talking about this doctor, not about all of them, even though they all have same diplomas, right? So there's something more to the quality of the coaching. So in these academies, you know, are we having the personality of the competitor in the academy that working with the U8 kids competing right there, or you want to have the animator that working with these kids? So in these academy, I think people can put all these things together, but I'm just going to go quickly to the thing that I already said. Getting to the puberty, roughly 15, 16, 17, the kids have to be exposed to the competitive environment. And it's not going to be easy for the U.S. academies to actually bring all good kids. So there's going to be an average quality of the talent in each team, 15, 16, 17, 18, and so on. And then never mind them playing in a similar league where they're going to be exposed to the same competitive environment. So if they overcome those problems, there's a huge potential. But again, so much talent, so much, you know, people, you know, Croatians, Serbians, Hispanic people from South coming from Europe, people coming in. I'm thinking, I said it millions of times in interviews here in Europe, you know, if the U.S. really gets serious, you know, they're going to be a soccer strength in the world in the future, 100%.
Romeo Josak joining us here, former technical director of Croatian football. Well, it is a fine time for the U.S. soccer player. I mean, it's pretty unprecedented right now with the players playing at top clubs around the world and the amount of players that are in Europe now and the attention that the American player is getting. So it may be trending towards these next couple of World Cups and potentially great performances, including the one that will be hosted in the U.S. in 2026. I want to go on to you now, though. You were a finalist for the sporting director job at Seattle that was vacated by Chris Henderson, who went to Inter Miami. Talk to me. Sporting director, head coach, where is your direction really right now? And, you know, which would you prefer maybe is I guess what I would say.
I would obviously I've been having all these serious falls myself, and the opportunity came along. I got phone call from Garth Lagerwey, the president of the Seattle side. We had two interviews officially formally, and to be honest with you, I got really warmed up because that's what I felt. I got information, I got a feeling from the club. They're really deeply interested in developing their own players, which they were lacking according to themselves, right? And I was really, you know, getting warmed up. The only little thing I'm regretting that we had this, you know, interview that really went into detail and that I expressed and exposed all the little, you know, things and details of the player development. I told them all that, what I meant and thought. It was really, you know, like going for 2 hours, like really deeply, you know, people writing, people talking, and all of a sudden they said, okay, we're going to move along. Thank you very much. And I was honestly a bit surprised, but I wished them all the best and I was all the luck. I was kind of thinking that would be something significant. You know, when I said to them, and when a couple of journalists, your colleague asked me, I want to be one of the first Europeans making a huge impact over there with the players. You ask me, sporting director or the head coach for the U.S., getting over there to get to know completely the environment, the players and everything, I wouldn't mind getting as a sporting director, but as I said, depending on the opportunity. But we'll see. But that was something close to, let's say, getting serious.
Romeo Josak joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN. We appreciate him being on tonight. I just carry you a little bit further into your coaching career because you were a head coach at Legia Warsaw in Poland. You were the Kuwaiti national team coach. How did those two experiences, which I'm sure were very, very different, kind of shape your coaching career as well?
I mean, 20 years. Well, I started as a coach, as a young coach, as a head coach of a second team in Dinamo, and as you said yourself, assistant coach of the first team. And then I was in Libya, the head coach of youth national teams, and I was academy director working in UEFA, FIFA, and all these, you know, governing roles as a director. And then a couple of years ago, you know, I felt fire from deep inside, and I said, listen to myself. You know, I had a good reputation, I still have here in Europe for everything we did in Dinamo in Croatia, and those jobs came along as an opportunities. Legia Warsaw, the biggest club of Poland, it was a huge experience. It was a huge experience, huge scene, huge exposure for me. Something what I adored for 1 year, little less than 1 year, I stayed there. It's an enormously big club. It's religious for the Polish people. After that, national team Kuwait, different mentality, different culture. you know, everybody praised their own national team. Kuwaiti people are crazy about their national team, and nobody can, you know, blame them for that. Maybe a bit of the expectations, you know, Europe is Europe, and let's not be, you know, fooling ourselves. Europe is really a couple of peers above everybody still all around, especially Asia. A couple of national teams over there, Japan, South Korea, Iran, Australia, they're keeping up and keeping up with the pace with Europe. But the rest are still struggling a bit. Kuwait is, let's say, one level below all those big ones. Huge experience, been there for a year and a half, and getting to know a different mentality. I've been running the national team, the men's national team, and the U23 Olympic national team as well, and together with my coaches that I brought along with me. Huge experience. But as I say, you're age 48 or 49 years of age, and still pushing around. MLS is potentially as an option. I did get quite a few phone calls with the potential inquiries back and forth. I'm not saying it's going to be a definite destination, but you say never say never. We'll see how this is going to unfold.
Well, Romeo, listen, very insightful interview. Thank you very much for coming on. I know my listeners have enjoyed this interview. A lot of great insight on a lot of different fronts from you. Let's do it again in the future. We'll stay in touch. And again, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule coming on from Croatia tonight.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Wish you all the best and your listeners.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters tonight here on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, do construction, you got to call the Daspit Law Firm. And you got to get John at 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. John and his firm, the Daspit Law Firm, will bring you a personalized approach. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Big thank you tonight, as always, to Aaron Raybould, producing, and to all of you who tuned in tonight. Don't forget, you get the podcast of this show now at ESPN975.com, ESPN975.com, or on Spotify or iTunes. Until next Tuesday night, on behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Thank you for tuning in tonight.
ESPN 97.5.